So we'll have millions of drones flying over our heads here in the US and also internationally. And I think the future of having a million drones isn't scary. You have to remember, you're talking about a 3D space. Most of us don't realize how much stuff happens over our head day in, day out. And that's where most of the drone traffic will be. There's not going to be negative impact to our day-to-day life. I think if anything, it's going to be very positive.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof.
So the past year has shined a light on the fact that humans are biological beings. We're great, but we're also fallible. We can get sick and we physically tire, which got me thinking about the drones again. I feel like there was a point where they were arguably overcovered, and that was a while ago, and now they're clearly undercovered in my estimation. Drones have the potential to be impactful to our way of life in so many ways. That's why I wanted to speak to Hanan Parvizian. He's the co-founder and CEO of Valency, which builds and operates long-range, high-payload, unmanned aerial systems for time-critical parts and supplies. Their goal is to help customers save millions of dollars on downtime costs, receiving life-saving supplies when needed most, and conduct demanding industrial jobs. So, Hanan, welcome to Future Proof.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy. Excited to be part of this squadcast.
Yeah, so I think I wanted to just start out by asking you, in your own words, who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yes, as you mentioned, I'm the co-founder and CEO of Valency. We started Valency over 5 years ago with the idea to help enterprise customers like Tesla, where I used to work at, have the means to be able to transport their critical supplies and spare parts faster than traditional ground transportation solutions. And we wanted to enable this by an autonomous aerial delivery service using drones. And so that was the fundamental idea behind Valency. And we've today grown the business to being able to service customers in the medical industry, in enterprise industry, and also work with government customers to provide a range of aerial services. Primarily, I would describe our value proposition as providing access from above to all of these customers, whether it's for delivery operations or other missions that they'd like to run.
Okay, so what gets you the most excited about the future of commercial drones? And I ask because I think that it's something that a lot of people think a good deal about, but then there's also some people who it's just not top of mind for them. So for you, when you think about the space, what gets you psyched?
Yeah, the vision that we share at Valency is that the world around us is designed based on the limitations of technologies that we've developed. And the fact that we have to build so many roads and tunnels and highways and bridges is because we are at mass really limited to ground transportation solutions. And so our mission at Valency is to really transform the world around the technologies that we are developing, namely vertical takeoff and landing and autonomy, and democratize access to aerial transportation and mobility. So that's what really gets me excited. And the way we're approaching that is we have a very pragmatic approach to it, both from a go-to-market perspective and from a product perspective, starting out with the lowest hanging fruits with customers that have the highest need and the highest purchasing power and also the highest adoption rates, and then gradually working our way towards other markets and other applications. And really what I'm truly convinced of is 20 years from now, the world around us will be designed completely differently because we'll think about infrastructure completely differently and we'll think about access and reach differently with the adoption of commercial drones and autonomy technologies.
You're probably right about that. I think that there's a lot that people aren't necessarily paying attention to about how constrained we are right now. And it's a really good point. And at the same time, it gets me thinking that there are a lot of people who might have a lack of understanding of drones, or they think about it from a science fiction or from a military standpoint. What's the number one or top one or two things that you think is maybe misunderstood about drones in general?
Yeah, that's a good point. So when we started back in 2015, I think even back then, still everyone thought about drones as these evil things that drop bombs on people's heads. And there was a negative connotation to it towards drones. Then there was a transformation to drones being these toys that you can buy and they have a camera on them and you crash them every now and then. And then now the idea is that drones are going to deliver my toothbrush or my coffee to me. I think these are all interesting ways of thinking about drones, but they don't necessarily speak to the fundamental problem that we're solving for customers, which is the reason we started adopting drones and the reason we started Valency wasn't that we were drone enthusiasts and we wanted to build a drone company. It was that we saw a problem in the enterprise space, which is customers were suffering from downtime issues and they needed to have a means to get their parts and supplies faster, or people needed medical supplies or vaccines and they were suffering otherwise, or troops needed supplies on a battlefield. And to deliver that to them would put another soldier's life at risk. And also they were at risk themselves. Really, what we'd like everyone to understand about the power of this technology is how game-changing it is in terms of how it's going to save money for businesses, how it's going to save lives for patients, and how it's going to really impact the flexibility that we can have for folks in the battlefield or troops and our service members. Drones for us don't represent toys, or they're not battery-powered multicopters. They are this really game-changing technology. And I really think the technology itself, the VTOL aspect, the vertical takeoff and landing and autonomy, is a key ingredient to this solution. And that's why we're very excited to be part of this industry and developing these technologies.
I know you mentioned the consumer drones. And I think, like you said, there are a lot of people that they just naturally see those more often. So they're more familiar with them. So if you were going to explain to the layperson, what's the main difference between consumer drones and commercial drones, other than the fact that they're used for different things and their capabilities are different? But if you were going to explain that and unpack that a bit, how would you describe that?
Yeah, so I'll use the application of delivery specifically, because you could have various applications and so there's various nuances there. But on the delivery side, a typical consumer drone that you could buy off the shelf, let's say a DJI Phantom, or DJI Mavic, has maybe 1 or 2 pounds of payload and has an endurance of 30 minutes or a couple of miles. What Valency's technology is focused on is on payloads of 10 to 200 pounds and endurance and ranges of 50 to 500 miles. So we cover obviously much larger payload range profile than typical consumer drone does. And that allows us to service a completely different application, which is really focused on enterprise use cases.
Makes a lot of sense. I think another thing that I was really curious about is how far commercial drones can go, because it seems to me like there are a lot of different industries that something like what you're doing would naturally make sense for. And obviously, you need to start in one place and find a few places where you can gain a foothold and then grow from there. But which industries do you anticipate will have the greatest need for commercial drones in the future?
Yeah, I think the way we think about it is there are three verticals that have the highest need and highest adoption rate today. So it's government, working with both military and also for disaster relief efforts. It's medical supplies. Think about COVID vaccine distribution. Like, I think drones are going to be a key enabler of that. And then finally, it's enterprise use cases. Specifically, we're focused on mining and oil and gas applications and customers. And over time, you'll see more adoption in the high-tech industry, in the automotive and manufacturing industries, and other utilities and energy industries. But right now, our focus, and I think this is where the focus of a lot of the industry is, in the medical space, oil and gas and mining space, and then government.
Yeah, it seems to me like it makes a lot of sense in terms of the initial applications, because you have to start somewhere, but also you think about where there's the greatest need and where there's the greatest, I guess you could say, not quite return, but improvement over the current status quo. Is that right?
Yeah, it all comes back to the customer ROI. What is it that they're gaining from using this technology? Because customers don't want to just use technology for the sake of using new technology. And the ROI, as I said, comes back to downtime cost savings for businesses and then life-saving supplies on the medical side and on the government side. And that's the true ROI.
So One thing that we like to ask people is to almost play devil's advocate, even when we're excited about a particular technology and thinking about the potential pitfalls and the unintended consequences, because it seems like that always happens. There's always really innovative technologies, and then something happens as a result. Even if we take two steps forward, maybe there's a potential one step back. So what are some of the potential unintended consequences of commercial drones if they take off the way that people like you are expecting? And then how do we mitigate as a business community against those potential pitfalls?
Yeah, I think any technology, drones, IT, software, satellites, rockets, any technology you could think of could be used for good and for bad. So the same way we're talking about delivering life-saving supplies, you could also deliver supplies that are not so life-saving using drones. So there are always good aspects to a technology and bad aspects. To answer your question of what can we do as a business community to prevent that is really highlight the positive use cases and encourage those and obviously discourage the negative use cases. I don't think there's something you could do to categorically deny someone to misuse the technology for bad purposes. But with every other technology, as long as 95% of the time or 99% of the time it's doing good, there's always going to be a percentage point that is for applications that are not so ideal or not so good.
For sure. It seems to me also it's good luck getting anything to 99%, but at the same time, if the good of any one thing outweighs the harm, then we're taking a step forward as a society. So I think that is ultimately, that's the human condition, is we're going to move forward and whatever we innovate, there's going to be something missing or some step back in some way, and that we're still wired to create and to innovate.
Yeah, absolutely. That's correct. As long as we have the appetite for change, and that change is going to have a positive impact on our life.
So speaking about positive impact, I feel like getting a substantial funding round, especially when you're trying to grow and build something that's capital intensive, that's certainly a welcome development. Tell me if I'm wrong, but you recently raised about $50 million?
Yes, we were very lucky to have raised our Series B investors with a great group of investors, including Icon Ventures and Lightspeed Ventures. We raised $50 million, and that added to the $25 million that we had raised previously. And we're excited to deploy that capital to help expand our service with the commercial sector and with government customers alike.
So this is one thing that I get asked a lot, because people have been, and these are probably people who don't follow the VC world as much as somebody like you or I might, but they've been very impressed that there have been companies that have gotten funding, additional rounds or initial funding throughout the pandemic, which has been, you know, surprising to some, because previously you were doing all of this pitching in person and now a lot of it was being done remotely, or not to mention the fact that people were just concerned about exactly how they should be investing their money. So how do you encourage people to fund you during a pandemic? And that this can be advice for people who are just starting out, or it can be for people who are trying to have subsequent rounds like you guys did.
Yeah, I will say that fundraising during COVID was definitely a unique experience. Tactically, there were many things that were different, some for good, some for bad. And for good aspect of it is that because you have a lot of online meetings, you don't have to spend too much time going between meetings and commuting. So you could have many more meetings per day. But aside from that, I think one of the key elements for us was that the fact that our technology was presently understood as far as how it could help with COVID vaccine distribution, how it could help with areas that don't have access, how it could help with all of the logistical and supply chain challenges that also COVID really highlighted for the entire economy. That was one key driver for us. And then also the fact that we had some really significant traction with our government customers and expanding that business, those were key enablers for us. But then tactically speaking, having the fact that we could meet with a lot of investors and have the opportunity to meet with the likes of Icon and other investors that participated in our Series B round virtually over several sessions was also a key element on how we were able to close this round. And yeah, you're right. At the beginning of COVID, No one wanted to invest. No one was sure where the economy was going, where no one was sure what's going to happen. But really, I think our technology stood out in the fact that it could help the situation more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, if you are going to try to keep the lights on, whether or not it's a large enterprise or the Air Force, which I know you've worked with, at the end of the day, you have got to make investments to try to make things more efficient, because that'll help you make more money or do something more efficiently and ultimately just have greater returns.
Yeah, that's correct. The way we think about governance is really a catalyst for our commercial business. And so we're really lucky to be working with government customers, whether it's the Air Force or Navy or any of the other services, and help them educate us on how we can improve on our products and also solve their problems and be a benefit to them.
I was going to say, actually, speaking of benefits, I was curious, you formerly served as an analyst at Tesla, right? So I'm wondering, was it a benefit at all to have something like Tesla serve as an inspiration, if at all, and to take some things away from how that company operates and how it was able to identify a market opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, the origin story of Valency came to me while at Tesla, trying to solve a problem that Tesla was facing, which was getting parts out to our service centers or to our assembly line, reducing downtime costs, making sure that our customers are not unhappy. So that was the source of the origin of the company, the problem that we were trying to solve. But beyond that, also, Tesla was an amazing place to be inspired to become an entrepreneur. The way the company set these really ambitious, audacious goals and worked around the clock, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to achieve them, despite all of the naysayers and all of the short sellers and everyone rooting against them, and having accomplished their mission, which I think is the biggest accomplishment of Tesla, is the mission at Tesla and the reason I joined was to accelerate the transition of the world to sustainable transportation. And I'm really confident that they've accomplished that mission even more today. It's already been happening over the past 10, 15 years. And today it's, you can see every car manufacturer in the world is launching electrical vehicles. And I'd like to think that's thanks to Tesla.
Absolutely. And I'd like to also hope that you held on to most of your stock. But anyway, No,
I didn't. I sold all of my stock to start Valency, and hopefully Valency stock will one day be as valuable as Tesla's. But yes, that's the sacrifice I made to start this company.
And obviously, that's well worth it. I wanted to ask, if everything goes right in terms of like your vision for the company, where do you anticipate you'll be in, let's say, 3 years?
So I think 3 years is an interesting number. So 2024 is where I think you'll have an adoption of commercial drones, especially for cargo transport, in the millions. So we'll have millions of drones flying over our heads here in the US and also internationally. That's where I'd like Valency to obviously be a key player in that and accelerating that. And that's the key thing for the next 3 years is let's adopt this technology at scale, and let's scale it with commercial customers, medical customers, government customers. And I think the future of having a million drones isn't scary. I know some people might say, oh, wow, I don't like drones, or they're going to be scary if there's a million of them. But you have to remember, you're talking about a 3D space. Most of us don't realize how much stuff happens over our head day in, day out. And that's where most of the drone traffic will be. So it's not going to be there's not going to be negative impact to our day-to-day life, I think, for anything. If anything, it's going to be very positive.
Yep, it makes a lot of sense. I want to go back to the idea of serving as an analyst, since I think we have that in our shared backgrounds. Both of us have that. And I'm wondering, how does serving as an analyst make someone a better forecaster and predictor of future trends?
Yeah, as an analyst, I'm very data-oriented, and I love data. So The idea for Valency came to me as I was looking at Tesla's logistics data and seeing how much money we're spending or losing and what the impact of not having a good delivery service is or fast delivery service is on the business through the realm of numbers, basically. And I think predicting the future similarly is, it's not that we're just passionate about a technology. It's about that we are identifying a problem set, and then we're analyzing the size of that problem set and the market that opportunity that represents, and then trying to navigate a path that makes our company obviously viable. And that's what we call the go-to-market strategy, is that where is the market going to be? What is the number? What are the numbers telling us? How do we chart our path to a successful outcome over the next 5 years, 10 years, and or 20 years? And that's how we think about the market. We're not just super passionate about a technology and just running at it, trying to find a problem to solve with it. It's more about where are the problem sets that we see through the data and how do we solve them?
And want to ask one last follow-up to that, because I think that an interesting question for you that we'd like to ask a lot of guests, as you're trying to grow Valency and predict the challenges and opportunities down the line, how do you correct for your own biases? And I would imagine that if you have a pragmatic data-oriented perspective like you do, it makes it a little bit easier to not be so dogmatic in your beliefs and to pivot accordingly. But tell me if I'm right or wrong, and because it is a challenge for a lot of people. They have a specific vision and this is what they believe. And then sometimes new data comes in and they try to almost deflect it and they don't incorporate it into their worldview. So how do you try to correct for your own biases?
It comes back to that pragmatism. I think one of the key reasons for Valency's success today, if you call it successful today, and it's still we're still at our infancy as a company, is that we left our egos at the door. We didn't have any dogma around the technology. We didn't have any attachment to a certain technology set. And we were really trying to think about what problems are we solving for our customers and how do we solve them and what technology solutions are going to be the right technology sets. I'll give you an example. When we started the company, the idea was that coming from Tesla, that we would build an all-electric drone that could service enterprise customers. And the problem with building an all-electric drone, given where the state of battery technology was back then and even today, is that you would have to carry a lot of battery weight and not a lot of cargo weight on every trip. And so we quickly, very quickly, within the first 6 months of the company, pivoted to say, maybe it doesn't have to be all electric. And that's where we landed on the hybrid propulsion system. So combining vertical electrical vertical takeoff and landing with gas-powered forward propulsion system. I can tell you there are other companies in our space and other people who would have very dogmatically wanted to make everything electric because they just want an electric vehicle. And I think there is a path to that, but that's, again, dependent on how battery technology evolves, and it's probably 5-10 years out from today. Yes, being pragmatic is one of our cultural values, and we always tell people when we hire them to check their egos and not come in with certain ideas and just try to be absorbed by the idea or the technology that they have in mind, that they don't think about the problem and how to solve it pragmatically.
I like the way that you put that. And I think with that perspective, you probably have a greater odds of success than somebody who embraces a culture that doesn't do that. Yeah, this was great. Thank you so much for making the time.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Hanan for making the time. I really think that this is such an interesting growth area that not enough people are paying attention to. So I encourage you guys to read up a little bit about the space. It's really fascinating. If you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Futureproof, as that's the number one way we get the show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to Associate Producers Jason Stack and V. Cortuccio, and Assistant Producer Aaron Cohn. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Futureproof.